A funny thing that I heard was about these things, you know, like Ramdas and Yoganand business and all. Many stories are like that, that come to our notice because of the people who come and tell us. So, the most intriguing one that I have come across is this story from Eduardo. You know Eduardo Nunes? What had happened was, Eduardo once come, he was here last time, so he tells me the story. And of course, as we are sitting and exchanging different stories, he tells us this story. He says, you know, after Fred Eller left New York, a Monday night group was no longer held at the apartments there. And Fred retired. You know, he used to have that big block there. He was the superintendent of the block, so he could have a nice hall and all that sort of thing. So, before leaving, well, we were sad about it, that we are going to miss Fred Ella. There were the pillars there. So Fred comforts them and says, well, what happened if we cannot have a big place, you know, to congregate and talk about him or sing his glory and all that. You all can, in your own apartments, you all can hold meetings, you see, in turn, in rotation. Yeah. Or you can go to any park and do that. It's the same thing, you see. What is important is to remember him. That's all. Nothing more than that. Nothing beyond it. And remember him with love, naturally. But Baba goes a step further and says, you need not remember me with love. You can even remember me through hatred. You heard that, Jane? Yeah. Whatever it be, you can do, but remember me, he says. So, Eduardo is telling the story. One day, we were holding a meeting, Baba meeting, Monday meeting, in our apartment, when Lisa was also there with him. So, people had gathered, and in the name of Baba, in the love of Baba, and they were all holding a meeting. Meeting means? nothing formal, all informal. So in that, there was a person who had just come. So she was narrating the story as to how she came to Baba. Halfway through her story, it was very interesting and we were hearing with great attention and all that. And halfway through the story, entered a stranger inside the room. A black person. Total stranger. Tall, hefty person, you see. And Eduardo looks at him, well, it's an open house, you can't stop anybody. But he was quiet, he took his seat in a corner. He didn't say anything. And all the time, now Eduardo's attention, you see, is distracted, and he wants to find out as to who this person is, has come here. So, the one who was narrating the story had her back to the person. So she was saying, continuing with the same gusto and fervor and love and all that. And after about 10-12 minutes, she says, well, this is how I came to Baba. And all others were applauded and says, Jai Baba, it's so beautiful to hear this and that and all that. Fine. And then this man speaks out. Would you all want to know what brought me here to this place today? So Eduardo was the first one. He says, yes, sir, we would like to know who you are and why you are here. So now the story begins. So he says, I live in New York from my childhood. Now I've got my own apartment there with my family, my wife and children. I'm a Muslim by birth. I'm employed and I live my life. Every day I go, commute to the place where I am employed and come back. Being a Muslim, you all must be knowing that, well, there is the injunction that we should pray for 5 times a day, in a day. But I can't afford to do that. I can only pray twice a day, once before going to office and once before retiring. And I have a special niche, a room, a corner in my room where I face Kaaba. You know, Mohammedans face Kaaba. Yeah, and I offer my prayers, and I continue to do so, and I'm satisfied. Allah has seen to everything, and everything is rosy and fine thus far. Was 15 days ago,
And then what happened?
Once, 15 days ago, I was praying, just going to my office. Before going to my office, I was praying, facing Kaaba, and was in tune with the Lord. And you know how you pray. Mohammedans pray, they stand up, they bend down halfway, they put their thumbs to the ears, this, that, and all that. You know the way, form of worship. So eventually they, what you call, bend down, bow down, and that's how he was. So while he was in the act, the final act, and he had bowed down like this, somebody gave him a tight kick on his fanny and toppled him down. And I was so perturbed with that. You know how it is when one is in your own home. Somebody, and while I'm praying to my Lord, somebody comes, you see. Who could that be? Somebody is so stupid to kick me and tight kick, so I fell down. So what happened? I turned my gaze and looked at the back. I said, who could that be? So I was stunned to see a radiant figure standing there. And with great dignity and authority, the person points out, I am not there, means where I was facing. I am here. I am not there, I am here. And pointing towards himself. And this man, he was so angry, you know. All of a sudden, all that just melts out. It just is shed. And he is puzzled and confused. And says, who could that be? And with great authority he said that and gradually faded out. And nothing left. And he's confused, he's puzzled now. He does not know who could that be. I was worshipping my Allah and he comes with great authority and says, I'm not there, I'm here. Is he Allah? Who could he be? Is he Satan to say such a thing? How could it be? What is it? And you know how the Muslims are so fanatic about these things. I don't know anything about the American Muslims, but usually they are. And he does not know, he's confused. And he goes to the office. He cannot greet his wife or children or anything. He goes to the office, he's confused. He tells his wife such a thing happened, you know. And he comes back. In the office he thinks about, this is the story he's telling the whole crowd there, that day. I'm confused, I go back, come back, pray again and all that. 15 days pass by. Every time I go, I commute. I go by bus, he says, city bus. And all the time I'm thinking about this man. The figure comes, it's so clear in my mind, it's always there, you see. And I'm confused, who could he be? He looks so radiant. Is he that? And this, while I am returning from office today, same commuter, and all of a sudden I see him again. And that too, a huge portrait of him behind a pickup van. You know, George McEwen used to.
Oh, yeah.
So he had that. And I looked at it, and I was so surprised and taken aback with this. That there is the clue here. He's the one who came. So I just shout in the bus. He says, stop, and I just rush out and I jump out of the bus. And the bus was slow at the time because luckily what happened was that they were negotiating some crowd or something, I don't know, but he could jump out and run behind that pickup van. He can see Baba's portrait there. He's running after it. And luckily, that pickup van also stopped at the signals there. And he goes there and grabs the hand of George. George was here, mind you, that day. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, when I told the story last time when George had come here. So he was surprised. He says, yeah, that's right. I had that. So he says, tell me who is at the back of your van. So he says that, who's at the back? Nobody is at the back. It's full of things. He says, no, that portrait that is there, oh, that's Meher Baba. Where can I find him? So immediately he writes down this address and says, go to this place and you'll get the news. So he knew that the meeting would be held there. So this is how I have come to this place. can I know anything further than that? So then, of course, Eduardo and others started telling him. Such are the ways. Yeah, such are the ways.